Before I get into the lesson, there was one more prayer request that I wanted to share for my family. We've talked a few times about the blessing of the extra family that we pick up along the way, and the people that are very special to us, even if they're not actually related to us. And we talked about that most recently, maybe at Mother's Day. And in our family, when my mom was younger, there was a couple that kind of adopted her as extra parents. And they became extra grandparents to us, Grandma and Papa Smith. And got a call from my mom this morning that Grandma Smith passed away yesterday. And you know, sometimes it's hard explaining grandma, but not really, and all of that. But it really were, you know, all are very special people to our family, and it's hitting us all pretty hard. Grandma was the type of person who would talk and tell stories until somebody dared to stop her, which didn't happen. I don't want to take too long on this, but two memories that come to mind to me. One, we were out celebrating something. We were at Dairy Queen, and Grandma and Papa were treating us to Dairy Queen, and she was telling her stories, and everybody was done getting their ice cream, and she was turned away from the register talking, and the guy behind the register, who was a friend of mine from school, tried to get her attention to say, it's time to pay now. And she turned, I gave him a look, and turned right back and continued her story. And my friend just had a confused look on his face. So that's one side that I remember. The other is Grandma Smith made our wedding cake. She said that was a gift to us, and she was very skilled at that. And I remember her coming in, just all these pans, saying, your kitchen is mine, and saying she's going to make that. And she did a beautiful job with that. So keep our family in your prayers. Yvonne Smith will be missed, and my mom, I'd say it was a joke. I don't think it was a joke. Said a lot of the members of the family, they're having a hard time because Grandma won't be around to tell us what to think. The joke is she won't be around to tell us how to feel right now. Okay. This morning, we're going to talk about the armor of God, which is a fun topic, especially if you do children's ministry. The armor of God is fun. I've shown off our armor of God that we made in Children's Church last year. The sword got played with too much and isn't here, but the rest is here in some form. It's not the first time I've made armor of God like this. I've done it for VBS in the past because it's a fun lesson to teach. It's a fun lesson to talk about, you know, put on the armor of God and be ready for the battle. I remember the first time I made armor like this. It was for Vacation Bible School, and it was the summer that Rachel and I met, and I talked her into coming to help with the VBS room, and she'll tell you even now that it's somewhat surprising seeing me in that element that we were still dating after that. That was about 2 months into we've been dating, 1 or 2 months, and I remember that week because after the last night of VBS, we were done tearing down and took Rachel home. I got my first kiss that night. You know, probably because of my quality craftsmanship. It was a cold August evening. I know that for sure because I was shaking, and that's the only explanation. It must have been cold. All right. Don't check details with Rachel. She but yeah, you know, I remember teaching a lesson with the armor. I had myself all suited up, and we were telling the David and Goliath story to go along with it. I may or may not have been suited up and standing on a chair. And the kids may or may not have been throwing marshmallows at me. But we talked about, you know, put on the armor, be ready for the fight, ready to attack, ready to go against the forces of evil. And it's a fun lesson. Kids get fired up, and there's a lot of really good imagery, and I've enjoyed teaching on the armor of God over the years. And so when I decided that this is what we're going to talk about this week, I thought, yeah, great title, Call of Duty, you know, like one of those video games. The Lord's Army, we're going to talk about the armor of God, you know, about joining the forces and onward Christian soldiers. And I had an idea of what I was going to do, and then I said, well, let's go to the text, and I know it, but it's a good idea to read the text before you write a sermon on it. Pro tip there. And I pulled it out, and I read, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." I remember that. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Yeah, I remember that. I remember one time teaching a series of lessons with the teen class. Actually, I was in the teen class helping the teacher. And we made a series of videos about the armor of God. And we wanted to get like some candid videos. We'd go around the town and say, you know, what is the shield of faith? And get people answered. And I remember the guy I was working with thought it'd be a really good idea to go over to the movie theater. And Star Wars Episode 2 had just come out. And I thought, I bet we can get some really good answers about Sword of the Spirit and some of this stuff. You know, maybe somebody's going to say a lightsaber. And we got somebody coming across the parking lot. I said, did you just come see Star Wars? Okay, we're from Pure Church of Christ. We're doing this. Can we ask you a few questions? Sure. What are the spiritual forces of evil? And the guy's like, I'm out. You know, thought this, you know, some kind of protest or some kind of finding out what's wrong with the movie or something like that. So yeah, I remember this. I remember standing against the spiritual forces of evil. "Therefore," again, "put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist," right over there, "with the breastplate of righteousness in place," careful, focus up with the chicken wire, "and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace." Yeah, I remember that the first time that I made duct tape covered shoes. I actually wore them for a cross country race. Very wet day. I thought this would be perfect. "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." I've never done flaming arrows with one of these lessons, but maybe someday. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And there is the armor of God. Right? That's what I remembered. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. But for some reason, this week when I was reading it over, they added a verse to the paragraph. Must have been what happened. After all of these pieces of the armor of God that I remembered, and this is good battle imagery, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." And he goes on, "Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." I don't remember those verses being there. Maybe I shouldn't admit that. Maybe I should. I had always emphasized this, but today we're going to emphasize this. But really, I read it. So, you know, you read something so many times, you don't actually read it anymore. Once you have the full armor of God on and you are standing, you pray. And you keep praying. All kinds of prayers and requests. And I don't know if this seems as significant to you, but it hit me quite a bit. It hit me pretty hard this week when I was looking at this, because it kind of shifted the way I envision the armor of God. And it made me flip back through Ephesians. Flip back through the other stuff this book talks about. And just in our readings this week, in chapters 4 through 6, in chapter 4, calls us to be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One body, one Spirit. And we're told not to live like the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking, their darkened understanding. And it says in 4:25, put off falsehood, speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we're members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry. Or 29, about not letting unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Chapter 5, simple statement, an impossible one perhaps, starts off, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up to us, for us, as a fragrant offering, sacrifice to God. And then all those relationships in chapters 5 and 6 about the way we treat one another, submission and love and obedience and not exasperating and all of these ideas that just permeate the book of Ephesians about the way that we interact with one another, the way we interact with the world around us and with our Christian brothers and sisters. And I suppose it doesn't make a lot of sense to go from peace and truth and unity and then say, finally, put on the armor and go to war. It makes for a really nice, get the kids excited type of lesson. It makes for a good standalone. If you cut this out to here, we have spiritual warfare. But that doesn't go along with the rest of the Ephesians. And the more that I looked at this week, I realized that if we just have that war imagery, that we can miss that point. But if you bring in the new verse 18, the one that I didn't remember, says when we are clothed in the armor of God, what is our task? We pray. We go to God. We ask for God's help for our own sake, for others' sake. The armor of God is not something we put on to go on attack. There is a battle. Gary prayed at the table this morning about battle. There are forces of evil that are far more evil than those in Star Wars Episode 2. And like Karen mentioned in class this morning, the idea of putting on the armor to stand is so that we are ready because attacks are coming. That doesn't mean we put on the armor and go look for a target. There are other texts that would talk about going boldly against forces of evil, but I don't think that's what Ephesians is saying. I think Ephesians is saying that if you have read the rest of this book, and I know we all did this week, the last 2 weeks, so you don't have to raise your hand saying you did. I know everybody did. If we have gone through this, you know, notice a lot of the ideas found in the armor of God come up earlier in the book. We talk about truth, like the belt of truth. We talk about salvation, like the helmet of salvation. Because if you have understood all of these things, then you will know to clothe yourself with these things. Remember last week, we talked about internalizing God's word. We talked about Ruth and Esther and Naomi and Boaz and Mordecai. They internalized the law. They internalized God's word, and it informed everything that they did. I hope that sounds somewhat familiar. As I'm looking at the armor of God here, I think this is having a similar idea. Except maybe instead of internalizing, it talks about externalizing. Maybe even accessorizing, but that sounds weird. So we take these things, just like Ruth and all those others understood the law and made it a part of who they are. I think Paul is talking about taking these ideas of the gospel, taking these things of the Spirit, and letting that be the face that we show the world. So maybe it's along the same lines as internalizing, but maybe this is an external thing. Sometimes it's going to be an attack, and you raise your shield against the flaming arrows. But I think other times, this armor is there to protect us from ourselves. It's there to remind us of the way that we interact with each other. You know, a lot of Ephesians is about controlling yourself. And I think the ideas that come across in the armor of God bring out this idea of putting it on so that you can be in control as well. You ever find yourself, when you get all dressed up more than you normally do, if it's the couple Sundays out of the year that you wear a coat and tie for the sake of your mom, or if you're going someplace where you dress up a little more, you ever notice that you maybe sit up a little straighter? I had a roommate that pointed this out to me. He wore a suit to Sunday morning services at Rochester Church of Christ one morning. He said, "I noticed I listened a lot closer when I was wearing that suit." He said, "You sit up a little straighter. You think maybe somebody's watching you because you're dressed up." And he said, "I think I'm going to keep doing it. I think it's a good thing for me." And I was thinking of my roommate Phil with this, with the armor. I wonder if this idea of saying you put all these things on, obviously it's figurative language, because if you're going to take salvation, if you're going to strive to be righteous, if you're going to be guided by truth, if you're going to hold faith up in front of you, if your feet are going to be guided by peace, and if you hold the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in your hand, that these things are not just to protect us from malevolent forces, but it's to remind us of who we are supposed to be. It's that same apodictic thing we talked about last week, about God is trying to build us into His people. So, we internalize the word, and we externalize the word, so that we can keep ourselves in check, so that we can stand, so that we can show the right image to those around us, so that we can not just stand against the enemy, but stand alongside your brothers and sisters. And there might be times that we are called to march into battle, onward Christian soldiers, but there are other times that we are just called to be God's people. So, I don't think I have to toss these out. They're getting a little old. Marcus says that the chicken wire pokes a little bit on the breastplate of righteousness, so he doesn't like to wear it. I don't think we need to cast out the ideas of spiritual warfare. I think there is good support for those ideas, and we could talk about that another time, perhaps. But I think even more than that, we ought to take this example of saying, I'm putting on armor. I am ready for the fight. And now that I'm standing, and now that I am prepared, I pray. All of this spiritual armor is not to make us strong. In itself, it does not make us strong. It reminds us of who we are. And if we are wearing the armor of God, we will seek God. Look at the stories in the Old Testament. Look at the stuff that we've been studying on the column for Wednesday nights. When God goes into the battle, it does not matter what His people are wearing. It does not matter what His people are carrying. If God goes into the battle, there will be victory. I find it a little funny that we're talking about put on a suit of armor, and our readings, not this next week, but the one after, we're going to read about David who goes into battle, and Saul says, "You need armor." And he says, "No, I don't." We'll get to that. So, as we close, I think I'm going to keep teaching about the armor of God. And I hope we can keep talking about it. But I'm never again going to forget verse 18. Once we are prepared to stand, we talk to our Father. And we keep talking to our Father. On all occasions, all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This morning, if you need prayers, you know we're going to do it this morning. We'd always do it, but now we have to after talking about this. If you need prayers for anything, please come forward and let us know. If there's anything you need, that's what we're here for. Just let us know as we stand and sing.
Have thy affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with